Without further ado, the President of Kingdom Business Ministries, Pastor Extraordinaire, Prophet, Evangelist, what more can I say? Before you do come up, he's known at the conference, Victory Life's conference, as the Lolly Man. Many years ago, I was there and he said, we need lollies. The pastors need lollies. We need sweetening up. So just as a gesture, as you preach, you can put your hand. You wanted some chocolates too, so. Thank you, sir. This is all yours. Pastor Alan and Pastor Anne-Marie, we're so blessed to have you back here. And we know you couldn't come last year through an incident, but we just want to welcome you, give you a great warm welcome. We're excited. Please welcome Alan.
This is dangerous, giving me the mic first. He can just stand there and eat his lollies. It's just awesome to see you all again, and I just love you. I love your church. I love your pastors. We are so connected in heart and spirit with them and with their family. It's just, you are truly our family, honestly. There's such joy in our hearts when we see you again. And this morning when we're in worship, I just felt the Lord say, it's a new season. It's a brand new season. And then Pastor Kerry got up and said it was the birthing of something new. And I just wanted to read this out over you. It says, I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has now changed. Sorry, this is from Song of Songs. The bondage of your barren winter has ended and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. And you know, I had this great thought in my heart. I love that God has designated change of season on the earth. And I was thinking about, we're going into spring. And it was almost like the Lord was saying, it was spring in the natural last week. This week is like winter. But I felt him saying, don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the circumstances, because in the natural, it's like, no, we're back to winter. Nothing's changed. There's no spring on the way. But it's like God has decreed a change in season. And he has decreed it, and it is on the way. It's almost like that word from heaven has been sent forth, and it will, you will have that change of season. You will have that breakthrough into a new season, because it's come from heaven. Amen. Love you guys.
No, I think that was mine. Oops. I'm very excited this morning. I am. I might not be showing it yet, but I will be soon. I can guarantee that. First of all, just thank you for having us back in the house. It's always an honor. I praise Jesus for everything that he does in my life, my wife's life, and even just to be here in your pulpit. Kerry, thank you very much. I never treat it lightly when I'm in God's house. But there's something that he's going to release this morning. And it's interesting because I had a message, and I always prepare and I have a good message and I prayed and everything else. And then the Lord this morning said, now, I'm going to release that thing that's in you. So you're going to get something that I have never preached before. In fact, I've only been told I can release it now, this morning. And part of the message that I have is part of this morning, and I will release it. But the reason I'm saying that is because even if I don't sound like I say it eloquently or the right way, you need to know there's an anointing on the word this morning. Not my anointing, God's anointing. There actually is an anointing for breakthrough. This is a birthing thing. And so, and everything that's happened so far this morning is not just, oh, we looked at each other's notes. This is the Holy Spirit bringing something for each one of you. This morning is a divine meeting for everyone that's in this room. And the more hungry you are, the more you're going to receive breakthrough. It is a morning of breakthrough. It's a morning of new birth. It's a morning of challenging you. And it's even a morning of something that Jesus has brought on this earth 2,000 years ago that you can receive now. Good, I'll make sure you get it. But I'm going to release it this morning, not just in prayer and in ministry, but I'm going to release it in my words. So if my words, as I said, if my words aren't perfect, it doesn't matter. Praise God. And I'm glad. I just love Jesus. Oh, I love him so much. I love him so much. I don't normally like doing this, but anyway, I'm going to do another. I'll do it at the end, maybe. Here, catch. Good catch. Huh? Oh, Jesus. A lot of you know my testimony. And of those of you who don't, very simply, I was deceived when I was young. I was initiated under a Hindu guru when I was 13. And then I followed the whole new age and did all of that most of my adult life up until I was 29, 30. And then I walked into a church, and I would never have gone into a church being a leader of the new age and knowing what we were trying to do on the planet. Why would I go to a church? But what happened is that when I did go in this church, I don't have time to tell you my testimony, but when I went in this church, the pastor read this scripture, which is interesting because it came out this morning. And the scripture was this: come to me. It's Jesus talking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now see, when I was underneath a Hindu guru spiritually, your life is not any of that. Your life is full of burdens. It's full of progression. It's full of performance. It's full of that you have to progress. Now, it's all deception and it's all wrong. But that's the problem with deception. You don't know you're deceived. I thought I had to have a life of suffering to be spiritual when I was under my guru. I thought I had to have a life of pain, and I had to have it because it was spiritual. And so when I heard this pastor saying Jesus said these words, I was really shocked, because all the Hindu lords that I followed did not provide an easy yoke. They didn't provide a life to rejoice in. So I heard these words from a lord. At that time, I thought just another lord. But he said, come to me who are like that. And the pastor said, who would like that Lord inside them? Who would like that Lord to live inside them for the rest of their life, to have Jesus come and live inside you? I put my hand up. I didn't on that day think I would become a Christian. I thought I was going to find something that's easy for my life, that I could have a nice life instead of a hard life. So I put my hand up, and I came forward when there was a call to ask for this Lord Jesus into my heart. I knew about lords. I had about 15 Hindu lords inside of me. Spiritually, according to my guru, I also knew about yoking, because the word yoke means that you are connected, you're joined, you're not apart, you're joined. And so I thought, I want to be joined with one that's fun, one that brings joy. I was over the suffering bit. I had had it. I was over it. I can remember before I did this, I remember sometimes being on my floor doing spiritual exercises. Hindu exercises, meditation, yoga, everything else. I can remember crying out, but I didn't know who I was crying out to. But I remember crying out going, I hate this life. Take me to heaven now. Take me to heaven, or nirvana as we believed it. And it's interesting because God heard those prayers from an antichrist leader that was against Jesus on the planet. He obviously still heard my prayer that I was sick of a burden life and that everything I was doing was not giving me joy. And that's why he brought me to a church and I heard these words. So I invited this Lord Jesus inside of me. And basically, for the next year, I tested this Lord out. I tested him out. I got a Bible from my mum and I said, I just need to know where this Lord Jesus is. And she showed me that there was four Gospels where Jesus talked and did things. So for the next year, while I still traveled the world teaching all the Hindu philosophies, while I taught transformation for people's lives, while I taught spiritual stuff, for that year, secretly, whenever I had a problem in my life, whenever the suffering showed up, I went, hang on, you Jesus said that you would take this from me. You would take the yoke from me. So I would then ask him, take it from me, and it would disappear. And for 12 months, I had physical miracles happen in my life. Miracles. I'm not talking about just supernatural that the cold went 2 days later. I'm talking about supernatural miracles that happened in my life. I had so much joy that I didn't know what to do with it. In fact, I was in it. I remember I'm still following all the other things, but I decided to test this Jesus. I was in an ashram meditating. And when you go in ashrams, you cross your legs and do all that sort of stuff. It's all deception. But when I'm in there, I just started laughing. This joy hit me. There was uncontrollable joy. I loved it, but the ashram and the other people didn't love it. So they threw me out. I couldn't stop it. After about 15, 20 minutes, I couldn't stop it. I didn't find out till 2 years later it was the Holy Spirit. It was just hitting me. Little did anyone know that in that meditation, in that ashram, internally, instead of chanting the Hindu gods that had been initiated into me from a guru, I was chanting the name Jesus. Now, I've had people come up to me and say, well, that's not possible, and you're probably still got demons in you. And I'm like, oh, seriously, you just don't know my life with Jesus. Jesus then, it was after a year that I then went, okay, I'm going to follow and be a Christian. Because this Lord is greater than all those other Lords. He gives me joy more than all the others. So I thought, I don't have a spirit of stupidity. So I went to my guru and said, this Lord is fantastic. He does this, this, this. And the more I was telling my guru, the more evil started to show on his face. And we didn't believe in evil. Run, Forrest, run. So I did. It was the first time in my life I actually saw evil. Didn't even think it existed. But see, I had Jesus in my heart. I said the sinner's prayer. I did it all. It just took me 12 months to prove that everything he said was true. So I maybe have an advantage over some of you. Maybe I have the advantage that I know the pain and I know the suffering of the world and the deception of the world that wants to keep, the enemy wants to keep Christians away from joy. He wants to keep them away from a full life of health and whatever. Now, you might go, Alan, you don't know my life. Yes, I do. You do not need to hear from this pulpit all the sufferings I've been through, even as a Christian. You don't need to. What you need to hear this morning, and this is the thing that the Lord's birthing out of me, is a stronger purpose to start showing people that we are not to be in a position for suffering. We're meant to be in a position for victory. Have I had troubles? Yes. Have I had sicknesses? Yes. But he has brought me through every single time. Now, you need to hear this because it's not just bringing me through going, I'm suffering, come Jesus, come Jesus. No, there's nothing in the scripture that tells me to do that. Am I meant to what? I'll show you. I'm so excited. I'm not going to tell you in a minute why I'm excited. Oh. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through to 18. You're meant to be joyful while you wait. Oh, okay. I'll read the scripture. Rejoice always. When? Always. Look, I'm not dumb. I've had pain and I've had things that have hit my body where I thought, oh, am I going to die? Am I going to do this? Now, my head does not want to rejoice. My feelings don't want to rejoice. But I'm told here that in my spirit, I'm meant to rejoice always. Why? Because there is an enemy. As soon as you speak out, feel, and declare how bad things are, God doesn't exist in that. Just like he can't exist in sin. He can't. It's just impossible for him to do that. Where does he exist? In joy, in healing, in fun, in victory. That's why we're told to speak the word over certain things. I might still be feeling the pain. The doctors might still say you've still got this problem. But if I rejoice with my spirit and I declare his word, I'm going to have joy through it. For the first 20 years as a Christian, I had joy in every suffering. I actually had joy in the suffering. I didn't know. I'm not, what's that word? Masochist, sadist? I wasn't one of those where I joyed the pain. I actually had supernatural joy hit me even though I shouldn't have. Why? Because of this scripture. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And it didn't mean I went and locked the door and prayed 24 hours a day. It meant in my spirit I was always alive to his promises. I'll have long life. By his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. It was in my spirit. And then it says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Now, how do you give thanks for pain and suffering? How do you do that? How do you give thanks for disease? The enemy wants you to give thanks to God for the disease because he's teaching you something, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. What God wants you to do is give thanks for the victory that's coming, for the victory that's coming. He wants us to give thanks for the victory. There was times I'd have been in so much pain, but I'd be going, Lord, thank you so much. I rejoice and I give thanks for your victory. I give thanks for your victory. What happens when I do that? The spiritual atmosphere becomes God's. And Satan must flee from the light. And then the rest of the scriptures, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God for us. For us to give thanks and to rejoice when we're in the suffering. It is the will of the enemy to keep you suffering and keep you in the pain. So I did have a title for some sort of message this morning, and I'm going to say it this way. You need to get into the right position for victory. The world will go, get in the right position for success. You can be a millionaire. You can be this. I don't want to be a millionaire. I want to seriously have access to billions. Not for me. Access for billions for the dying world that needs the money. Does your heart ever get pulled when there's an offering for someone that's suffering and can't feed themselves or a country that needs money? Does your heart ever get pulled where it's like, oh, I just want to give everything I can? I want to give more. If your heart's pulled, that's because that's God in your heart wanting to help. So let me just stay away from that and tell you what was happening to me in this last year or so. I came back from America in February from a trip, and because it had been a long trip and Anne-Marie had been doing stuff, we decided that we'd meet up in the Blue Mountains in Sydney just to have 2 or 3 days retreat before going back home to work and everything else. And I remember on the plane feeling something a little strange shifting in my spirit. But when I got to see Anne-Marie, everything was great. The next morning, I just felt led in my worship time with the Lord to play a certain song. And I had no idea what that song was. So I just followed the Lord, some different things. And I came across this song by Casting Crowns. I didn't even have it. I ended up having to download it. But the Lord said, download it, you're to hear this. I knew nothing about the song. So I downloaded this song, and it tore me apart in a good way. I just hit the floor bawling and bawling because it was all about, he's singing all about as a man having the spirit of David, the spirit of a spiritual warfare hero going out into the deep and attacking, and that's his heart. But his whole life he stayed on the sidelines, on the bank, and never gone because of fear of man. I hit the floor because I thought, that's me. I felt like my whole soul was like that. Even though I've done great things for God and I'll risk for God and I'll do anything for God, but here, I want you to hear this the right way. A lot of the things that I've done for God has been when I have the anointing on me. And I feel I can do it. I'm not normally a good speaker. But when the anointing comes on me, I have to do it because God said to do it. And I feel things in that, but not in my feelings, but in my spirit. But the interesting thing is the Lord said, from this day on, I'm going to do that cry. Because I cried out and said, that's it. I don't care what it takes, I'm stepping out in the deep. I don't care what it does, I'm stepping out in the deep. I don't care if I have to die, show me how I die, I'm going to step out in the deep. Because I was fed up of a mediocre life. The first 20 years of me as a Christian, I was bold and out there. Something had happened to me and I wasn't even aware. I'd started to wean down a little bit, not from the gospel, not from Jesus being my Lord, but from the application of victory. That's why I'm in Victory Life and I'm ordained under Pastor Margaret. It has nothing to do with anything that the world thinks. Even Christians come up to me sometimes, oh, you should be with them and you could do great things with them. No, I can't do great things without anyone except Jesus. Amen. Amen. I can't do anything without him. And he was the one that introduced me to Pastor Margaret 10 years ago, and we've had a relationship ever since. My power doesn't come from her. My power comes from Jesus. But when I'm obedient to Jesus, he supplies the right things for my life. So where was I? Oh, yes. So I'm bawling my eyes out. Felt like I had this encounter with God and a bit of a slap, like this is what you're going to have to risk. And now when you're in that moment, it's like, yeah, I can conquer the world. What about, I don't know, men and women in the room? How many of you like superhero movies? Just me? Oh, there's a few of us? Okay. I cry in them. I'll admit it. Sorry? I even cry in the ads for them. Someone like, who likes M&Ms? I just felt it in my spirit. Yeah, that lady right there. Can you catch? You might have to come out the side there. But these are anointed. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think I'm going to like this. I'm not going to take them home, so let's see how many I can get out in this next message. So where was I? Oh, superhero movies. And I realized why. Because my spirit is so connected to Jesus, who went to fight the ultimate superhero battle against evil, and he won. See, he won. I love when good defeats evil. Even if there's a big S on front of him and a cape, I don't care about any of that. I care about the fact that there's something sometimes on secular movies that God is touching if you're open enough for it. Meaning if you're open enough to hear God. All right, so that was my first encounter for change, for something new to happen to me. And so I continually would for the next few months try and step out, and I feel like, oh, I failed, and my head would get into it. I mean, I had to do this. I had to rejoice always and pray without ceasing in my spirit. So then the second thing I realized, to be in the right position for victory, to receive the victory, and to get out of suffering really quick. Some people love suffering. It's all yours. I want to get out of it quick because God's not living there. Even if you don't agree with me, read the Bible. God is not in suffering. Can he turn suffering around? Yes, but its originator is the enemy. I declare that mindsets this morning get broken. Mindsets of habits that have been there for a long time thinking that God puts us on it. He doesn't put any suffering on us. He can't. If he puts suffering on us, he did it once to his son for us. He did it once on the cross. It's done. It's finished. Even Jesus declared it's finished. Now, I'm the same as you. Sometimes I forget that. And I listen to the pain and I listen to the other and I listen to other things. I have to learn to block it out because he said to rejoice, joy. All right, so I'm trying all these new things over a few months, and then finally I'm crying out to the Lord, crying out to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. And this is the first thing that happened to me. And hear my heart with this. I'm in worship at our home church, and I'm just bored, not with the church. Okay, hear me, especially if this is being recorded. I wasn't bored with the church. I wasn't bored with God. I was bored because I still felt like I was on the sideline of this lake. I wasn't stepping out into the river. I still felt like I wasn't there. And I was taking risks, but I realized there was something deep upon deep upon deep upon deep that needed to just know Jesus so much that nothing else would matter. I mean, some of you know my story of that when I wanted to get out of debt, the main reason I wanted to get out of debt is I never read it in the Bible where God blessed debt. And I thought, how come so many of us will run to a mortgage? There's nothing wrong with having mortgages. I've had mortgages. But why don't we can believe God for healing and supernatural healing, and then we go and get a mortgage. We don't, first of all, go, God, can you supply? We've built such a habit that we think the banks are greater than God when it comes to prosperity. I've had God provide money for houses without mortgages or for land because I went after it. You're hearing me? I got hungry and went after it. I read it in the Word that he would do that, so I went after it. The debt's not a sin, but it's not promised land blessing. Uh-uh. It's not promised land blessing. All right, so I wanted to now do the same thing as I did to get over debt. and find out how big God was. I wanted to find out how big was God in the miraculous. How big was he in those things? But you know, the direction he took me was into this thing called joy and rejoice always. And I thought, but Lord, it's tough to rejoice when I'm suffering. And I came out of this church service saying, there has to be more. There has to be more. There has to be more. Not just for the world, but for us as individuals. So the world will see that. The reason I want to give $1 million away is so that people will see how great my God is. Can you imagine the papers going and reading about the fact that we gave $1 million away? That's got to get someone's attention. But if I give all the glory to God for it, it's going to throw some people that are nuts or thinking I'm nuts. But that's how God gets the glory. I don't want it for myself. I want it to give glory to God. So, have any of you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day? I felt like that's what was happening to my spiritual life. It wasn't, but I was like, this is happening the same and the same and the same and the same and the same. And so I went to the Lord and said, how do I change this? How do I change this? I went into a worship session. How do I change this? I rejoice, Lord. How do I change this? And he showed me that I had to do something so radical in him, such as risking and doing stuff and stepping out, that that's the only way to break the habit. So we decided to do that. And we decided to take, just for us, and it was our radical moment. I'm not saying it's yours. It's our radical moment. We needed to go away and stop work for 3 months and give God 3 months sabbatical to see what he wanted to do with me. So on that sabbatical, I'm thinking it's the sabbatical that's going to give me this new charge, this new life. But God is greater than my mind and what I think. And he ended up taking me. I don't know if any of you heard of what's... Oh, I wasn't going to share it, but I will. Has anyone heard of Sozos? Sort of. Anyway. In this time of 3 months, again, I still didn't know what the block was. I didn't know if there was a block. I just had to do something. And what happened is that the Lord led me to this man who does what's called financial sozos, which is kind of like allowing God to find if you have roots or stuff like that. I'm not into curses. I'm not into any of that stuff. Some of you might be. That's fine. But the Bible says that when I'm a follower of Jesus and his heart, then I'm going to be blessed to 100 generations. That's my scripture I stand on. I'm not standing on the one that if I'm cursed, there'll be curses for 3 generations. Why would I want that one? Why would I want that one? Oh, but that's probably what you have. No, I don't have that. I became born again 29 years ago. And that's the scripture and that was my God and he's still the same. All right. So anyway, I go through this whole process of 2 hours of the Lord visiting me. Now, he didn't visit me in form and white robes, but his presence, it took almost 2 hours of me just spending time with the Lord and thanking him and acknowledging him and thanking him. And his presence came in the room. I was hungry for it. His presence came in the room. It wrecked me. And it still has changed my whole life. It wasn't anything he did except I allowed him to be that close to me. I allowed him to come that close. I allowed him to come that close. And at the end of that 2 hours, I asked him, Lord, what do I do now? I feel like I'm a... What do I do now? What do you want me to do with my life? Because to get to that point, I didn't say this, but in that other thing in the mountains, I actually said to the Lord, and it was all through the comments, but I said to the Lord, here I am. I don't care what this is, what you want me to do. I'm giving everything up and I just got to follow you. I'm giving everything up and I'm just going to follow you. Now, I didn't then put on robes and walk the streets. I'm talking about I gave up everything in my desires to what does he want. Because I was after this and I was hungry after this true joy that he could bring. So these are the two things that he told me. Okay. Now, I'm saying this in front of your pastors. You can't go away and say, Alan said these two things, so that's what God's telling me. You have to find it for yourself. Because God is very individual. I am a son of God. And he loves me. And he said there's two things that I'm only allowed to do. It was almost like a command. Number one was, whatever I do, it has to be joy in it. And if there's not, I'm not allowed to do it. That's hard for a man like me. Who's used to pushing through things. Used to building businesses and building this for God and building that. But I wasn't allowed to. He said, only if there's joy in it. Now, does that mean there's not joy in the other things? No, but if there's not joy for me, I'm not allowed to do it. That's for me. So if the pastor asks you to do something, You can go, no, there's no joy in that for me. I ain't doing it. You're not allowed to do that. I know exactly what he meant and how that was going to change my life around. Because I can tell you that I bawled for about another hour after he told me that, because I knew that it was me dying to a lot of things to be able to even do that. And then the second thing he told me was that from now on, I have to follow freedom. And I said, why? He said, Jesus said, because I set you free. So I want you to follow freedom. I'm a God of freedom. And some of you know from my book and other things that I do a lot with people on purpose, godly purposes. So he gave me a new purpose. I've had this one purpose for 29 years. He actually downloaded a new purpose. And I said, Lord, I want to preach that. I want to preach that. And he hasn't allowed me until today. Today is the day that he said, you can do it. This is released. And isn't it interesting, all these different things about birthing and this and stuff. So I feel like, even though I haven't spoken probably, it's just like this birthing's coming out of me with the sense of the presence of God and the anointing. It's coming out and it's coming out. So you need to receive it. You need to receive this for your life, for your way. And the main purpose now for me in my life is to bring the revelation of truth. That's it. To bring the revelation of truth. And I'm talking about this. This is the only truth that exists. God, Jesus. It's the only truth that exists. His ways, his promises. Do I have them all yet? No. But I am going to rejoice always. I'm going to ask you a couple of things to do with position and talk to you practically about how to position yourself. Because I want to let you know that my life since that happened, and it wasn't that I walked out of the room and, oh, everything in my life is fantastic. I'm going to spread the word of the Messiah. And I'm going to go, it wasn't like that. What it was that God said, I've given you that in your spirit. Now you outwork it through your flesh and through your emotions and through your soul. You outwork it. You stand. Because the enemy hates that stuff, that freedom. Do you have any whiteboard pins? Can I actually get that over here maybe? Just there. Thank you. Of course it will be. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Say, wait. Come here. No, wait. Why do you keep walking away? You can have as much as you want. What do you want? Yeah? Those, yeah. Hang on. Come back. But there's more. No, no, seriously, put it down there. Put it down there. No, just put it down. It's all yours. Now put it down. Come here. Yes, it is prophetic. Father, from this point on, shall he go after the abundance. Never be satisfied with just one thing. It is more than enough for your life. Oh. It was actually prophetic, and I could feel it. So I followed it. Because he would take it. How many of us do that? We receive something, and we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. When in fact, he never told us to leave. He never told us to leave the table. He never told us to leave the abundance. And this is one of the things that broke in my mind that had to go. Till the curtain moved, didn't it? One thing that broke in my mind over this period that I've been just sitting with this word to outwork it was the fact that the only limitation on life came on my side of the equation, not God's. He started to show us that as soon as you name something, oh, I've got $500,000. As soon as you name it, you've limited God. Because you're speaking out, that's all you have. And some of you are going, all you had, I'd love to have $500,000. Well, then you need to change, because we as the children of God need to be the richest people on the planet so we can give to the right causes. All right, two of you. I'll say it again. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. Do you know that God sent his son because he loves us so much? And his son went through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And then he killed him. He had himself killed. And people go, well, but the Jews killed him. No, he went freely and gave his life. Because his father wanted him to do it. Why? For the joy set up in front of him. The joy in front of him. That's weird. How do you go to the cross and suffer all that for the joy? We are the joy. Amen. We are the joy. Amen. Each one of you that... It doesn't matter whether you believe in him or not. He did it for you. And some of you know this, and I've probably done this before, but I actually love your logo. I'll be honest, it's the first time I realized it was the cross. I'm being honest. I'm not going to lie. I think it's very clever. It's very creative, clever. And then I went, oh, it's the cross. All right. But I love, you might not know this, and maybe you planned it this way, but this side of your logo is where the other side of the H is, which is this side. All right, Jesus went to the cross and he died. And the reason he died is because his blood was going to set forth victory for the rest of generations. It was through his blood. There's no other power that can cover the remission of our sins. I love the way that Jesus got up and he spoke about the marriage covenant. He got up 2,000 years ago, he spoke about marriage. If anyone dares come to me and say, oh, but marriage, it's an old tradition. Yeah, it's pretty old. I agree with you. I know that Jesus 2,000 years ago talked about marriage. Yeah. But guess what? When he's talking about a man shall leave a woman and they shall, a man. See, I said, my words might not be correct, but... I'm getting drunker too, so I'm just trying to get this out. A man shall leave his mother and father and the woman as well. And what do? They cleave to each other and they become one flesh. Jesus is saying this 2 years ago. He's describing marriage 2,000 years ago. And marriage... 2,000 years ago. What did I say? 2 years? No, I didn't. You just weren't... I'm bending time. I said 2,000, but it's slow. Do you know? 2,000 years ago, he talked about marriage. And guess what he was quoting? Something out of Genesis chapter 2. So we're talking about something that God created, not man, not a politician. No one created it. God created it. And number two, it's a covenant. All right. It's a covenant. I stepped into a covenant. And I wasn't even fully aware of what I did till a couple of years later. Jehovah's sneaky. He just got me into the kingdom without knowing I was in the kingdom. But this is the interesting thing. Position. All right? Position. The reason I had those encounters is I positioned my heart, my spirit, that I'd had enough of what's going on in the world. I want to carry his power at another level. I want to carry his victory at another level because I want the world to see my life, but I also want to bring the revelation of truth that that's Jesus that's doing it, not me. I want to bring that hope. However, my position has always and will always be on that side of the cross. This side is where Satan lives. And I was under that deception. I was under pain. I was under suffering. He is not the author of that. If he was the author and wanted us to still suffer, he did a really cruel trick on Jesus, making him go to the cross and suffer all that if it didn't do anything. That's how precious this is. I can't come back here and do things. I can't come back, and I'm going to say it, I can't go back and do yoga and all that sort of stuff. Yoga is yoking. I don't care what anyone says. If you think it's okay and you can bring Jesus with you, you've got a problem because you're trying to change the spiritual laws of both Hinduism, which is just under Satanism anyway, and God's. There's been a blood you've been paid for. This is where you live. This is your position. There, not back through there. I don't need to go back and do all these practices. I don't need to suffer. I don't need to do any of that. I don't. I seriously want, you can clap if you want to. But I seriously want to get to the point of this rejoicing so much that in 40 years, I can look back and go, I lived a really powerful life for the Lord and gave Him glory for my life and for my health and for everything else and everything I did, so that I can just go, okay, it's ready to go home now. I mean, some people think that we're all going home right now. Some of you have read those things, some of you haven't. They reckon the rapture's today. Well, or was it yesterday? But my scripture, my Bible says, you shall not know the hour or the day. And either will Jesus. All right, so this is where I position myself for the victory. For what He's already paid, what He's already done. I don't need to keep re-crucifying, and I don't need to be over here. And some of those people, and I'm saying this because it's probably being videoed and I want them to hear it, is I hear some people, and I'm only using this as one example, and there's a lot of examples around at the moment in the culture today. A lot of the culture today, and I mean all of us, from young to old, that was prophetic, all of us, this generation, which means all of us, are doing so many weird things just because the culture says you can do it and it's okay to do it. No. There's laws that have been put into place. The fact that Jesus shed His blood, there's so much about covenant behind that. I don't have time for it now. But there's so much about covenant that it's done. It's a law in creation that's been done. It's been done. It's done. It's done. All right. Oh, but I still have pain. Fine. Rejoice. No, rejoice in the pain. Don't go, oh, I'm so painful. I love it. This is fantastic. I mean, at my work, but I just rejoice in His victory. I'm healed. I'm healed by His stripes. He's already paid the price. That's my rejoice. Yeah. I've had instances where I've been in so much pain when I start to do that, but supernaturally something shifts. Because up until then, probably half an hour or 15 minutes, my head's been going, this is stupid. Go to you're in pain. Don't do that. It'll get worse. No, I'm going to do what God says, not what my head says. So I've had people come to me and say, that's okay, we can do Christian yoga, which, by the way, doesn't exist. It's just been made up by man for an excuse to do it. And they go, oh, that's okay, I just use Jesus while I'm in doing yoga. And I might have done this last time, but I need to do it again. That would be like this. Let me give you an example. This is talking about the spiritual setting on the planet. But there's another covenant, and it's called marriage. So I married Anne Marie, my beautiful wife. I came through a covenant to marry her. And I gave an oath. And I gave my life to her. And we became one flesh. So that excuse of that you can use Jesus when you're doing yoga poses and everything else would be the same excuse then that I can go, oh, yeah, she's my wife, but I'm going to go and sleep with other women because it's okay. I'll just think of Anne Marie while I'm sleeping with them. It's the same thing. You're breaking covenant. Practices of other gods, not our God, the real God. Just be careful. I don't have time to do it, but I know exactly what that's about. Oh, but it's so different. We use Jesus. You can't without breaking the covenant and going back. And you don't need to. If you really want to stretch, just go to a stretch class. Seriously. And you can defend it all you want, but I was a Hatha master yoga master. That came out wrong. A Hatha yoga master. I know what this has done. It's about yoking, which means you yoke. Every position is a demonic god you're yoking with to let them in. I used to do that, but then I yoke with a different god. Jesus said, take my yoke. So I took His yoke. I don't need anything else. The enemy just wants to deceive us so that we stay away from this power. The power on this side is incredible for your life and for other people around you. You want to move in healing power? Just go to someone who looks sick and ask if you can pray for them. Oh, but I can't do that. You're right, you can't. But He can. And He lives inside of you. All right? The other thing is, I wasn't even going to do this, but this is reckless love. You got to remember, I was here and I hated Jesus. I was anti Him. I was anti all that. Even anti Christians. Yet Jesus gets me to come to a church And you think, why would I, someone of that high spiritual in Hinduism, come to a church? Because he tricked me. He did. He let the enemy talk to me and tell me that I needed to come into a church, and at some point when the universe shifted, I'd get asked to come up and I'd correct all the Christians. Weird, I know. But that didn't happen. When I showed up, I heard about yoking, and I knew about yoking. And I invited this Lord into my life and tested him, and I was allowed to do that. God allowed me to do that. But at the end of that year, that was it. I dedicated my life to him, and I haven't changed. It's not because I'm a loyal person. It's because of it works. It just does work. It's that simple. So I'm gonna suggest this. I think I said it at the beginning, but his love is so reckless that this was saying he sent Jesus for me, and I was against him. And he went to the cross in all that pain. That is reckless love, because he doesn't know if I'm going to return it. I love the song that's out now about reckless love, and he'll do this and he'll do that, and he leaves the 99 and he comes to the one, and I'm like, I just weep, because that's how I feel. That's what he did. And then through the blood, he also took my sins away. Now, come on, there's a good bargain. That's a good equation. Not only do I now have a new Lord whose yoke is easy, and it is, but I also get to have no memory of my past. There are things that I did that only God and I know, but he's forgotten them, so he doesn't know either. Only I know. Even my wife doesn't know. That's how much he loved me. I have no guilt. I have no shame, because he took it away. Have I sinned in my life since I've become a Christian? Of course I have. But the enemy used the shame and the guilt after that sin to stop me from doing things, not the sin. And do you know why? Because if he can keep you in shame and guilt, he's got you locked, because it's deception. Because if you just go, oh, I sinned, I shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry, Lord, please, I repent, he transforms. Not a confession. See, confessions come out of shame and guilt, like, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it, and oh, look what I've done to my life. No, I'm talking about a repentance where it's like, oh, Lord, I blew it. Please forgive me, change me. How do I get this out? How do I move forward? And he'll do that for you. But I want to show you something that I went after. Besides going after how do I do things with his money instead of bank's money, how can I be debt-free, how can I have so much joy that it doesn't matter, I've had two side effects that's been happening from running after this, by taking charge and going for it. One of them is that I have had peace that goes beyond all understanding. I've been in storms that's literally, I feel like Jesus and I'm asleep. And I can't do that in the natural. I can't recreate it in any way. It's been from him. So I'm actually starting to experience the thing I'm going after. And the other thing is I've had so much joy. But that's kind of obvious, because I'm not allowed to do anything unless there's joy. I have joy here. I like being here a lot. God will place different people in different hearts, and this whole church is on our heart. Always has been. Always will be. Because God knits relationship. God does that. So when Kerry keeps making mistakes, I just love him. And when I make mistakes, he slaps me. No, I'm only joking. But that's what friendship is. That's what love in the Lord is. It's got nothing to do with what they're like. It's got to do with that we just love Jesus. And we're going after him. But I have had that joy and that peace. And it's sometimes freaking me out, because it's unbearably great. It's unbearably fun. I'm a very responsible person. But I've been doing some things lately that are not responsible. And I don't mean I've been irresponsible. I just go, can I really do that, Lord? He says, yeah. You mean I don't have to do that? No. I've given you the command. Is there joy in it? No, I don't want to do that. Then don't do it. And then my flesh still has to catch up, because it's going, what will people think? Oh, I didn't do that. Why? And so you know what's happened, and it only just happened recently, is the fear of man's left me. I have not had any fear of man for months. But that's because I'm here. That's the power of the blood. But I've had to apply and apply and apply and learn. And that's what I've had to do. And that's what I said before. That's why I came to Victory Life. It's about Victory Life. Victory Life. So I know that my whole ministry in the form of that is just going to change into whatever, and it might just change every year. Who knows? I'm that yielded with God, I don't care. I don't have to build this or do anything. I'm just going to have joy and follow freedom. But one thing I'm passionate about is truth now. It's all that's going to come out of my mouth is a revelation of truth. His truth, his truth. As Christians, we have suffered too long under the hands of the enemy, under the lies of the enemy. We're not meant to. Jesus did everything he could so that we could come forward. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Father, I cut away all things in the name of Jesus. I cut away all soul ties in the name of Jesus. From this point on, the more joy you have, the more power will come. The more joy you have, the more miraculous will come. Step up, says the Lord. Step up and step up into my joy. It's okay. No, he's telling me to tell you it's okay. No, it's actually okay. It's actually okay. There can be times that you're walking in the office or you do stuff and all you feel like doing is just lying on the floor in your office. It's okay. That was me hitting you. It's okay. It's okay. No. It's actually okay. You can't fail him. You can't fail him. Don't try, but you can't fail him. You can't. It's okay. There's going to be a whole new strength, a whole new strength that's going to come out of that peace and out of that freedom, but also out of that joy. You're actually going to just laugh at things, and it's okay. You're going to laugh at people, and it's okay. Because you're not laughing at them. You're laughing at the fact of what God's just done in their life. You're blessing them and blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. It's okay. Your lip will get sore if you keep holding it down like that. It's okay. Seal it, Father. Seal it in the name of Jesus. Seal it in the name of Jesus. So if you're still in pain, it's not God. And it's your choice how long you stay there. Oh, that's a heavy word, Alan. No, it's a true word. God loves you. Go after God. He's the God of healing. Go after Jesus. He's already done the work. And I'm just going to leave you. What time am I going to stop? Oh. I got to tell you this quick little story. When I was 7 or 8 years old and I was in America, my father was in the Air Force originally. And, you know, what do they call them? The brat pack where we'd live on air bases as kids. And I was definitely part of that brat pack. Even at 7, I was doing damage. You can laugh. It's all right. My mum tells me that, you know, I'd kick holes in walls. I'd flush cats down toilets. Boy, you reacted to that. I'm glad I'm not going to tell you what else I sinned at. No, I flushed. I did everything. Hammers. My mum said I was just crazy. Well, then, you know, you're moving from Air Force to Air Force. You never see your dad and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, but we were moving to Australia. I think it was 7 or 8. And I remember we were in. We went to Disneyland. I think it was a bribe to leave home and everything else. And I'm at Disneyland, and I'm serious. There's this ride there that I still today remember. It was the most exciting, thrilling ride I'd ever been on in my life, and it's still there. I loved it. And I can remember there was a time when I think I was 20 and I was going to move back to Australia, back to America. And there was a friend of mine that was doing some work over there and we were going to meet up. And I said, let's go to Disneyland. I've got to go back to this ride. It's so exciting. And I'm telling him it's going to be the most thrilling thing you've ever been on in your life. It is high and it's fast and oh, I can't wait to do it. Bit of an adrenaline junkie. I wanted to do it. Anyway, we arrive at Disneyland. We'd caught the bus there. We're in Disneyland. We're walking. I'm so excited. And walking and trying to find where this ride is. And I kept walking past it. Looking for this exciting, thrilling ride. But I did remember that it was called Dumbo. And I looked across and I saw Dumbo, the ride. And I'm thinking, and I actually went to a person and said, have you changed the ride? Like, it was for kids. elephants that you sit in that goes maybe this high and just goes round in circles. It's slower than the teacup ride. It's like, and I'm serious, I'm standing there going, and my friend, last recommendation from Alan, like, it was devastating. It was. But that would be like me going from here back to here. It would even be from me here going back 29 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. I don't need to go back. Because when we go back, we have an old perspective. It can keep us locked in. There's nothing wrong with good memories. But if it keeps you locked into something that's not rejoicing of God or is not you, then you're not in the right position. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still over there. These are things you've got to position. I've got to give you something practical. Position your heart. You've got to ask yourself all the time. After today, I want you to ask yourself, what's my position? What's the position of your heart towards Jesus? What's your position of forgiveness? Or are you still remembering past things that he's forgotten? Is the enemy reminding you? It's the scripture. It says, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. The enemy tries to remind me every day of past stuff. But I go, hang on, God's forgotten it. I'm going to forget it. I take that thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. Christ said he went to the cross, the redemption of sins through his blood, done. My feelings might not feel it yet, but that's the truth. That's the truth. All right, what's your position of your beliefs? Who do you think Jesus is? What's the position of your mouth? What do you keep saying all the time? What's the position of your prophecies? If any of you ever have been given words from God, keep reading over them and reading over them. I have prophecies that I was given 20, 30, or 25 years ago that haven't come true yet. I've got others that have, but took 10 years. Doesn't matter. Keep speaking them over your life. What's your position? My position is that God's true and he will do what he said he's going to do. What's your position with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? What is your position? Jesus, look, if you don't know about the Holy Spirit, find out what Jesus said about him. Get into the Word. Find out the position. Find out what Jesus said. He said he would send him. He would send him so that I could have him inside me, so he would be my comforter. He would give me peace, discernment. But I also can have him upon me so I can go to people and use his power to set them free. Not my power. His power. So after today, I want you to get into a new position. Go after a new position. And go after a position. There's nothing wrong with this. Go after a position where you can have an encounter with Jesus. This friend of mine in America asked if he could use a testimony about this thing that changed my life. And I wrote a really good testimony. And he sent it all around the world, and he said on his email thing, and it's interesting because the part that he used was, this thing completely changed my life. And as a businessman and an entrepreneur, I don't normally say those things. Which is true. I don't normally say those things. But this thing did. And it was an encounter with Jesus. It was an encounter with his presence of how much he loves me. And we should be able to encounter that all the time. So we need to, like, not go to the old, but stay in the new. And we need to reposition ourselves. I actually want to, well, I believe God does, but I want to birth this thing out of here. I want to birth this thing out of here. I think it's appropriate that you're a church that we just love as family. Even if we haven't spent time with you personally, we just love you and love you and love you. And so I just think it's... I just love the fact that things can be birthed and things can be birthed. But when I'm going to pray and see how God moves with this. But some might be individual. Maybe I might just declare it over the whole group. But the interesting thing is that I've found is that when you lose the fear of man, you might look a little silly, but boy, you have fun. And I've read that fun and joy can actually heal me. See, it doesn't worry me if no one laughs. Just, I'm not here to make you laugh. But I'm not going to stop my joy or my laugh. Because it's from him. I just love him. I just love him. I love him. But birthing is powerful. Oh, that song that you were singing in the end, what was that? Do you remember the last song? Am I looking at the right person? No. Who's up there? Put your hand up if you're up there. Three of you? There was more than that. Four, five. Oh, there's some more. Okay. Come to the altar. What were some of the other words? Beg your pardon? Go back to the one before that. Come to the altar, Father's arms, wide open. Forgiveness was brought, the precious blood of Jesus. What's the next one? Oh, what a what? Savior. Isn't he wonderful? He's risen. He's Lord of all, but he's our Savior. He's the Savior over everything. He paid a price for you and I. Why not have a life of joy? I do not, and I don't have to anymore, but that was one of my cries. I did not want to get to heaven and go, I've done all your work, Lord. I suffered and I did it all. And he goes, man, we could have had so much fun together. And I can in heaven, that's great. But you know what's on my heart now more than anything else and will be for the next 30, 40 years? Is I want people to have fun in the Lord now. I want people to have enjoyment and joy in the promises of the Lord now. Who's up there again? Because I had a word for someone. Put your hand up if you're up the front. Yeah, come here. Okay, you can put your hands down. There was another gentleman. No, it wasn't you. Yeah, if you can come here too. No, come here. Come here. Thank you, Lord. When you're standing up there, I saw that the scripture that says that he, okay, the Lord, did not give you a spirit of fear. But he gave. But this is what he gave you, a spirit of power. Power. Do you know the rest of it? Spirit of love and sound mind. Sound mind. But they're spirits. All four of them are spirits. The spirit of fear is just a spirit. Jesus defeated it. All fear of man from this day on is going to start to disappear. All fear of man. Because it's not from God. Is that okay with you? I see you making decisions and doing stuff and sometimes speaking in areas where normally you would just be shaking in fear, but it's not going to be there. From this day, it will disappear. That's how much he loves you. So he's going to give you that spirit of love that will then be so full inside that nothing from the enemy, hear this, nothing from the enemy can get in. Nothing from the enemy can come in. So from this point on, he's going to start dropping into your mind and dropping into your spirit new words and new songs. Doesn't matter whether you don't know how to do it. Is that what you were just thinking? What were you just thinking then? What happened? You can't remember. Good. I just saw like this other spirit called doubt try to get in there. You won't be doing it. He will be. There's going to be a new connection between you and him because the spirit of fear is gone. Spirit of fear is gone. Spirit of fear is gone. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Spirit of fear, be gone of her life in every area. Every area of darkness is now filled with the light of God, that Jesus is now filling every part. From this point on, she is free in the name of Jesus, and by the blood, she is free. From this point on, we declare it. We declare it. We declare your voice, Satan, null and void in the name of Jesus. And Father, we now impart words of joy, words of wisdom. Come in and out of her mouth. Come into her spirit and out of her mouth. Come into her spirit and out of her mouth. There's going to be times you're going to be singing and the Spirit of the Lord will hit you and Carrie or someone will recognize it on you and they're going to say to you, sing. And that's the point. No, you just sing. Would you like to have more freedom? That's how it'll come. It will. It'll happen. It's the spirit of love. And sound mind sealed over her in the name of Jesus. And for I declare in the next 7 days that the strength and the power of the Lord, like it used to come in the Old Testament on Samson, will come upon her through the Holy Spirit in this New Testament. There's a new thing. Thank you, Father. You need to study more and more and more about the New Testament. Songs are going to come out about the New Testament. And when you start to sing them and speak them, people will get changed because it's the power of the New Testament. All right, you can sit down. You were up there? You think? Yeah. You are? You were up here playing piano, yeah. I kept seeing the word, it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. Is there something in your life that you have been praying for to change or to get rid of or anything like that? Yeah, okay. Well, it's over. It's done. Good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What nationality are you?
Australian.
Good. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Fill his heart with joy. Fill his heart with joy. Fill his heart with joy. Fill his heart. See, God's filling your heart. It's a desire of yours to fill his joy and his rejoicing. He's going to fill it and fill it and fill it and fill it. There'll be times that you might feel a bit uncontrollable and you need to go away, and that's okay. You go into your secret place, you go where you need to, and just let him fill you with joy. And the more he fills you with joy, the more the other things will disappear. It's not about working out the other things. It's about filling with joy. It's not about working the other things. It's about filling with joy. When joy comes, all else leaves. When the light comes in, the darkness flees. There's nothing you have to be responsible for anymore. Now, if you're married, you've got kids and all that, yes, be sensible. I understand that. But I'm talking about in the things of God and what's on your life, you don't have to perform them. You don't have to be responsible to him. He's going to look after it all. All right? And there's going to be strength and power in that joy. Thank you, Father. Mm. Are you married? Where's your wife? Is she here?
She's home sick with three little sick kids.
What have they got? Like flu, that's one. Yep. All right, Father, we stand in agreement right now. Everyone, we stand in agreement that right now that sickness leaves his wife and leaves the kids right now, so that we can declare the testimony that it happened now, Father. It happened now, that you're omnipresent, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that they are freed of that. And Father, I declare a supernatural immune system over his whole family, that from this point on, as the word is spoken, there shall never be sickness again in that household, that it shall be a household of testimony that sickness has left in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Can I just very quickly have the worship team up there playing that song in the background? That one? God's all about setting hearts free and repositioning. And I know that we could do an altar call and everyone could come out, but I feel like this morning, just then, that the Lord dropped on me that there's some people that want to be set free and have more joy rather than sadness, and they've kind of felt like they've never had much joy. I want you to come out the front here now, please, because God's anointing is just building here for gladness and for joy and for happiness. And I know you all want it, but I just want to start at that first level. That if there's been times in life, some of you have had tragic situations, you've lost family members, other things have happened, and you still have this, it might be a twinge of sadness or a twinge of, oh, I don't feel I have the hope. I want you to come out now. You need to come out now. Quickly come out. Thank you, Lord. You can start whenever you want. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you can sing or not sing, whatever you feel. Thank you, Lord. Because this anointing that's here is a breaker anointing. It's an anointing that changes things. Okay? It changes things. It changes things. God is into changing things. So receive the anointing. I'll lay hands on you, but it's him right now. It's him. He's touching you. He's bringing forth. He's bringing forward. Hey, get back here. Here's your overflow. That's your overflow. See, if I eat this in the anointing, I won't get any sugar. Mustaches are anointed. They really are. If you're out here, you need to know it. Don't look to me. That's one thing I've learned. Don't look to me. Because you look to me, I'll fail you. Look to Jesus right now. You need to close your eyes, do whatever you need to do, but look to Jesus. Hunger Him. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. Hunger Him. And receive His outworking. Receive His outworking. Father, set them free with joy. Set them free with joy. Take all things away. Fill her with more joy. More joy and rejoicing, Father. I don't know if you sing or not, but I feel like what's going to happen is that you're going to start singing new songs of rejoicing. And as you do that, the rest will leave. Okay? So you need to do it. Father, rejoicing. Anointing a breakthrough in joy in His heart, Father. Fullness. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, Father. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Thank you, Father. Fullness of joy. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And breakthrough. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. His anointing. His anointing. His anointing. Breakthrough. His anointing. His anointing. It's His anointing that brings the fullness of joy. It's His anointing. Breakthrough, Father. Breakthrough. Joy, 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 joy. Joy that's substantial, Father. Joy that is not silly, but substantial. Joy that has power of the blood. Joy that has the power of the blood. Joy that has the power of the blood. Do you know whether it's a boy or a girl? Do you want to know? Father, bless this child. I declare the prophetic word will come out of their mouth. As you bring them up, the prophetic word will be all over. The prophetic anointing will be all over them. Thank you, Father. Freedom, freedom of joy, freedom of joy, freedom. Release in joy, release in joy. The anointing of the Lord Jesus. Anointing of joy and anointing of joy. And the anointing of joy. Thank you, Father. Freedom doesn't necessarily have to come when you laugh or not laugh. It's just inside your heart that it's Him. And Jesus is setting you free. Jesus is setting you free. Jesus is setting you free. Anointing. Anointing. That it be the anointing of God. Anointing of God changing this man's life. I feel like you've come to a place in your life that there's, I just keep seeing like a fork in the road. I don't know if it's a physical thing or it's a spiritual thing, but I see this fork in the road and you're not sure which one you take or how you take it. And one way seems quite normal and natural to you, but the Lord wants you to take the unnatural, because that's when it'll be His strength will be in it. His strength will be in it. You'll have more encounters of Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, joy, releasing and releasing and releasing. This lady here. Yeah. Yeah. Could you? Is that okay if I pray for you? I saw like this wind over you. Kind of like a hurricane or a whatever. And I just saw it over your head. I'm not saying that's coming on your life, but what I saw was God said that He's now at this point starting to place you in the eye, and you'll be like that for the rest of your life. In an eye of a storm, nothing happens. It's this peace, this quietness. And Lord's going to, I'm going to pray for you right now, but He's going to bring new encounters of that peace. The true peace where it's just like, you don't need to do anything. You'll be in stillness. And you'll start to feel His love and feel His encounters. But He's going to start to create those moments for you. Okay? Father, peace. Spirit of peace upon her. The spirit of peace upon her. Father, I declare that you come to her. You come to her in the night. You come to her in the morning and just fill her with your peace so that she encounters your love. She encounters your love. Thank you, Lord. She encounters your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your Spirit, Father. changing everything in our life. He's changing everything in your life from this day. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to change. You need to start dancing and rejoicing even when you don't feel it. And as you when you dance and rejoice, I feel it'll be prophetic. And you'll start to just have a release. In fact, do it now. Just move your legs a little bit. Ah, yeah, yeah, I know you'll look silly. So what? Come on, you want to be free? Just move your legs. That's it. Move a little bit. Yeah. But you're not allowed to smile. You can't have fun with this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Set her free. Set her free. Move a bit more. In your secret place, move. Rejoice. Dance. Move. He turns mourning into dancing. So start the dancing first. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's placing a mantle on you today. And it's a mantle that has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with age. Young or old, this mantle you're going to carry is going to be a mantle of freedom. You're going to actually just see people and pray for them. And then you're going to find out later that they were released. You're going to see people that have addictions and different things like that. And you'll lay hands on them and they shall be free. It's because of this mantle, says the Lord. And it's this mantle that you will get the glory. And you will give the glory. The reason I'm giving you this today, says the Lord, is because of my trust for you. Not because of man's acclamations, but because of my trust. Of my trust for you. Speak out, says the Lord. Start to speak out. Start to intercede. Start to declare. Start to lay hands on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You need to start praying for people, even if you don't know them or wherever, but you'll get an inclination you need to do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Have you been worrying about something? All I keep hearing the question is from the Lord saying, why? He knows the circumstances, but why? Why are you worrying? It'll be by His power. Father, power mantle on him now. Power mantle on him for his family and for everything to do with his life as he moves forward. Power right now. Power in the name of Jesus. Power from this point on. Power. Stand up, man of God, says the Lord. Stand up on the inside. Use my spirit, says the Lord. Use my spirit, says the Lord. And use my sword, says the Lord, against every situation. It shall change as you do this. It shall change from this point. Stand and rise with my spirit, says the Lord. Lift your head up, up. That's your new position. Lift your head up. That's your new position. It's your new position on the Lord. Head up more. Praising the Lord because He's already done the work. You're the one that declares it now. You're the one that declares it. Chains are broken when you speak, sir. Chains are broken when you speak because it's the anointing. And the anointing is the thing that breaks the yokes. Speak, says the Lord. Speak out of your mouth. Things have already changed. I hear him saying, things have already changed in the spirit realm. They're already changing. You can declare them here on earth. You declare them here on earth. They shall be broken. Father, oh boy, you have a tender heart. You have such a tender heart. The Lord knows that. Wow. Such a tender heart. Have you been? Do you pick stuff up in the spirit, prophetically? Yeah. The revelation that's going to start coming to you is going to be different. It'll be more powerful from this point on, and you need to. Need to declare to God from this day on because it's His power and you know that. Oh, here comes the superhero thing. I just keep seeing Wonder Woman. I do. I do. That there's this tender heart, but there's this like no against evil. And you're prophetic, so you've got to declare. You've got this new revelations that are going to come up inside of you, and you're just going to go, and you might be, oh, not right now. And you might be right in the middle of worship. You just got to declare the thing. You've got to declare it. I feel there'll be times that you'll get stuff and you'll just need to go to Pastor Carey or Pastor Sally and say, hey, I'm getting this. Can I declare it out? And if they go yes or no, whatever. But even in your own life, it's you pick up stuff. So I just keep getting, you pick it up. So it's time to declare it. Because when you pick it up, it's sitting here. When you declare it, you move mountains. Because it's His word. What were you getting this morning in this? There was something you were getting. Okay, it felt like your spirit was on fire. Right. So the first thing that came out of your mouth then was, I don't know. You do know. That was the biggest thing I had to move through. People never believe this. I'm introverted. I don't like speaking. I get stuff and I go, I'm not saying that, Lord. And then one day I got slapped by a prophet that I have to start saying. Because it's not me. It's what He wants. And some of the weirdest stuff I've said has had some of the most amazing breakthroughs in people's lives from God. You do know. Come on, Wonder Woman, you do know. Stand like this. You do know. You do know the realms of the Spirit. You do know it. Spend more time. Have more encounters in it. Start to declare. If there's no one there, you're at home, just declare it. It might come from a feeling. That's how I get it sometimes. Declare it, declare it, declare it. Who cares? You might not know till you're in heaven what you've been declaring and what's happened, but declare it. All right? So the fire. You were feeling that this morning. The fire. You were feeling the fire. What do you think God wants to do with that? Ah, no, you are sure. That's good. You're also cheeky. But it's not. What? What? Come on, you know. What's He want with that? There, what was that? What did you just think? See, you did something happen then. Come here. Stand here. Is there anyone here today that has I'm going to do two more things. Someone here that has cancer or terminal, or you've got tumors, or you've got polyps, you've got things inside your body that shouldn't be there. Anyone here at all, you need to come out now. Come out here. Because the fire of God, from God, that's on this lady is going to have them shrivel and disappear. Who is that? You just need to stand here. Who else? Who else? Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Okay. Now it's God. You don't need to pray in tongues. It's already here. It's already here. All right. We're just going to do this together. We're just going to say, be gone in the name of Jesus. You ready? Go.
Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus.
Declare it. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of these people are going to go and check, and they're going to actually find that things are gone because of God and because you stepped out and declare. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Declare. So, the fire of God. Okay, so because I want to pray for just one other section of the group. But right now, I want all of you to do whatever you need to do. If you want to, you can stay seated, but put your hands out, close your eyes, whatever. She's going to pray the fire of God comes and hits you. Oh, okay. Just do it to me. I'm happy. Come on. Fire of God will change you in one moment. The fire of God will burn away something that you could never get away. Come on.
Hi. come and touch these people. Come and touch these people, Lord, as we sit and we wait on you.
Now, Wonder Woman, come on.
I see the fire of God coming down. I see in the palms of people's hands as it comes and it touches people. Be open. Let your spirit open. Let it come. Let it come and touch you in this place. I declare that the fire of the Lord is here. I declare the fire of God is here over each and every one of you. I declare that it's here in the name of Jesus. I declare the fire of the Lord is here in the name of Jesus. I declare it.
Now receive it. It's here. Changing minds, changing feelings, converting them back to the Lord and His Word, converting back to the renewed creature you are, the new species you were created to be. Father, I speak to all of the souls in this room, to all minds and to all emotions and to all will, that they shall line up with the Word of God. They shall be the new creations of God. They shall be the new creations of God. They shall be the carriers of the Holy Spirit. They shall line up with the Spirit. They shall line up with the Spirit. Line up with the Spirit in every person. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just stay in this position. Sometimes some of us fight battles with our mind. Sometimes we fight battles with our emotions and our soul. That's okay. But there's some battles that we've been forgetting to fight with our spirit. Sometimes we try to fight the spiritual battles with our mind. We will always lose and we'll end up with stress. And then sometimes we try and fight battles with our body instead of our spirit. I was doing that and I kept getting hit and hit and hit with all sorts of difficulties and diseases and pain. And I'd get hit and hit until I got the revelation that I'm fighting it with my body. I should be fighting it with my spirit. So I started to say, Spirit, you rise up and fight this. You fight this. You fight this. And I haven't had any pain. I haven't had any sickness. I've had no attack since. My spirit is stronger than my mind. And yes, I can declare, but it's my spirit needs to fight it. That's what I just declared over this room. God got me to declare that your spirit will rise up. Spirits, rise up and fight the battle. Rise up and be filled with the Spirit and fight the battle. Rise up. Rise up. Okay, why don't you all stand up and I'll just declare something over you and then we can... No, leave her there. No, you stay. They just appear, or did someone put them there? You put them there. Oh, vanilla. I like that. This one's fragrant oil. I wonder what fragrance? Roses? You don't know. Father, I declare right now that your Spirit, Jesus, your Holy Spirit that you sent for us hovers over every life now. Just hovers over them and hovers over them and hovers over them. Thank you, Father. Stir up not only the fire of God, but stir up their spirit. Stir up their spirit that knows the truth. Stir it up. Stir it up. Father, I declare that within 7 days, every person in this room will have an encounter with you that they cannot in any way describe to anyone because it is so empowering and so powerful. Father, encounters of God with their spirit, that they know you are the one and true God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And every hope and every dream that is in this place shall come to pass. God, you are the God of big dreams. You are the God of big dreams, and I speak that over this house. I speak that everyone that needs a house will get one without debt. I speak that everyone will be pain-free. I speak cancer-free into this household. I speak you, Jesus, and your power into this household. I speak the prophetic. I speak that this church shall become a prophetic voice for the nation. That even when you're sitting here and praying and you're declaring and you're doing things over the nation, it shall go across the nation. It shall have an effect, says the Lord. It shall do it. Just open your mouths and start to declare, says the Lord. As you start to declare as a member of this church and as a community of this church, you shall help to change this nation. The word that you speak out shall go and do what it's meant to do. Your word shall come from your mouth and be fulfilled in this nation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand and thank Him.